Hey everybody, we are with you this morning. Good morning. I'm excited to announce that we are at Charlie Kirk's memorial here in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, I'm not, as you can see, I'm not at the memorial. You can't even get close to it, hundreds of thousands of people. But I want to share with you why God laid on my heart for me and Shanita to get in the car and drive across the country just to be here, okay? And it's not just to be in the building, although I hope that happens. It doesn't start until 11 o'clock Pacific time. But it's something I think more, I know, much more important than that. And I want to share that with you this morning. But before I do, I just need to have another sip of my coffee here. Good. Okay. So first of all, I don't know if you've seen the videos I've done on Charlie Kirk. I didn't follow him much, didn't know much about him. I heard his name, of course, but I didn't follow him, didn't know exactly the things he talked about. But when he died, his death changed my life. Okay. And then I found out my kids followed him, my younger kids. So I've released a lot of videos. I have a channel dedicated to Charlie Kirk on DavidHebner.tv. If you haven't seen it, go to it. I'm going to put more stuff up there today, and I'm going to put stuff at the memorial. But why did God ask me to come here? Because I wanted, and I'm going to, and we are this morning, I hope you'll join me, to pray over the memorial. We're going to cast out any dark spiritual forces that are around that building, because there's a lot of demons that don't want this to happen. They don't want anyone memorialized that has anything to do with God. You know, they want to take them out. They don't even want people to remember them. But it ain't going to happen, because you and I this morning are going to cast these dark spirits out. Folks, witchcraft is so real, and it's all over the place. I did a show many years ago on Judge Kavanaugh, when in New York, these witches were throwing a hex upon him and things were happening. If we as Christians don't wake up and stop playing church, this war is going to be it's going to be horrific for our children if the Lord doesn't come back. Now, I can tell you this morning, there's going to be a lot of churches at 11 o'clock that's going to be out there preaching some pussycat sermon, cotton candy Jesus, and they should be down there at that memorial. They should be memorializing Charlie Kirk. They should be praying protection over that building. But will they? I doubt it. I hope they are. I hope I go there and I see, you know, 1,000 preachers, priests, whatever, out there laying hands, just, you know, getting rid of those demons and witches, witchcraft that's going to be around that building wanting to hurt. Want to affect that memorial. Number two is I'm going to lift up Charlie's wife and his children. Now, I don't know her, but I want to lift them up. I want pray a hedge of protection over them, that God will keep them in the palm of his hands. Folks, I don't know. Did you see Erica, I think is her name? She came on, she said, and I'm going to paraphrase this. She said a few days ago, she said, and she's talking to the enemy. She's talking to the evil. She said, you have no idea what you've just unleashed. You have no idea. Man, you know what I saw? Because I'm a movie guy. I saw Clint Eastwood saying, go ahead, punk, make my day. Make my day. She was out to win. Okay. Strong Christian gal, I believe. I don't know her personally, but obviously she's married to Charlie, and I believe he was very strong Christian. I think the same. So here's the deal. We're going to pray for protection over the memorial. Why is it important? Because I believe that when something like this happened, God wants us to memorialize it. All right? When people get taken out that are doing God's work, the world needs to see this. There needs to be time to mourn, but there also needs to be time to lift up and to show all the good things that were done. The enemy doesn't want that to happen. You know, he doesn't want that to happen at all. So we're going to pray for protection. We're going to cast out any evil spirits that may be around, dark spirits around the place. But then we're going to get into the 4 points God's given me for you and I of how I believe Charlie's life touched me. And I'm going to share these with you. I'm going to bring Shanita on. I'm not quite sure where she is. She probably had to climb out to the car because, folks, we drove across country to be here. And kind of through the, not the middle of the night, but late into the night, we got up early this morning. Good morning, Shanita. We just came from Los Angeles. We had an amazing revival there. And Shanita, two people gave their, this is Martin. He gave his life to the Lord, came forward, gave his life to the Lord. I did an altar call, praise God. This is Nancy. She rededicated her life to the Lord. She's a writer in Hollywood, California. Both these people are in Hollywood. But anyway, we had a very anointed time at the revival in Hollywood yesterday, right?
Yeah, and it was great to see Coach. And you have been praying for his mom's eyesight, which is improving. But we're just believing God's going to do a radical recovery there.
Yeah, now when you say Coach, I want to clarify that it's not Coach Dave. Coach Walker. He's an actor. He's in Los Angeles. So yeah, praying for his mother. And okay, so we're here at the Charlie Kirk Memorial, and we're going to pray any evil spirits off. We're going to lift his family up. That God protects his family. Any last words you'd like to say before we get into the sermon this morning?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for praying for yesterday's event. My mom had prayed specifically that someone would be led to Christ on our trip. And it was great seeing our associate producers, Greg and Sunshine, there. And
And Heaven Destiny and Leanne there. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to bring you on later, and we're going to talk about the praise reports and the prayer request. And I'm sorry that you have to go out in a car. Folks, I'm in a hotel room. Shanita's in a car. I mean, how much more makeshift can you get? But you know what? God's in it. God always has a plan. And Shanita, I just want to take time to think about all the people out there. Thank the people out there that have prayed for us. They prayed protection over us. And they've donated so that we could travel and do this work. So many people's lives were touched yesterday, not because of me. I can't say anything. If anything, I get in the way. But people came up to me and said, David, I needed to hear this. I was on the brink of this, of that. And I had people come to me and say, would you pray for my spouse? They have demons. Would you pray? My family's sick. My family has been torn apart. We had people. I did an altar call. And almost all the congregation came forward. And I said, oh, Lord, is there anybody here that can pray for anybody? And God said, yeah, I want everybody to pray for everybody. You know,
I think one of the most powerful testimonies is that you could have taken the easy way out and just sent a donation, but you chose to make the sacrifice to spend the 2 days on the road coming, 2 days on the road going, and the Lord touched people, I think, because you were there in person. I mean, you could have done it remotely, but it was the power of moving in person.
Yeah, what Shanita is saying, I think, is I just want to clarify so people understand, is I could have just sent a few dollars to say, hey, I want to help support the event, and I will be on the big screen. I'll sit, you know, at home or wherever I am, and I'll be there. But God said, no. No, you go there in person. See, too many times we want to cop out and say, I can just be on your screen. We're on everybody's screen 2-3 times a week. Yes. But when God says go in person, you got to get up and go, you know. And this is what I'm going to be talking about this morning, is there's many Christians that are awake. They've awoken. They're woke. But they're not. But they never got out of bed. They're still laying in bed. What good is it to wake up if you never get out of bed? Let me ask you a question. What do you want? Somebody to feed you breakfast in bed? You know, I mean, it's time now, folks. Okay, so you're awake. You're woke. When I say woke, I mean, you are awake. But now Are you out of bed? Did you have you this morning? We're getting out of bed. That's all I can say. All right, Sinead.
Good. And we're getting out equipped with energy. We're doing the things to our body that will.
That'll keep it. Absolutely. Power. All right. Love you. All right. Let's get to it. Yeah, that's it. We're awake.
David, I'm awake. I'm awake. I agree with what you're saying. I hear it. I see it.
Yeah. But you're still laying in bed.
But I'm awake.
Well, what good is it to be awake if you never get out of bed? Think about it. Don't tell me that you're awake. Don't tell me that you agree with something. Don't tell me that you jive with it. Don't tell me that you study it. Don't tell me you went to a cemetery. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I want to know what you're doing about it. When I say you, I got three fingers pointing back at me. All right? Stop. To my Charlie Kirk. He did something. Why has he affected my life? Why is his death? And by the way, it's not just me. I talked to people all over at the revival yesterday, or the meeting yesterday. They said, yeah, you know, I didn't know who he was really. But when he died, I researched him and I found out, and he has affected my life because he did something. Martin Landau. Academy Award winner, a friend of mine. I directed, produced him in movies. He said, to try something is to fail. If you want to do it, do it. Don't say you're going to try it. Don't give it a shot. Blast it out of the water. So we got to stop talking this stuff about it. It's nonsense. Go do it.
But David, I might make a mistake. You don't understand. I don't want to.
Yeah, you're right. I don't understand because I'm not God. I'm just a little pea brain like you, vapor, bouncing around this atmosphere. I don't understand. But God understands. I don't want to hear your problems. I want to know what you're doing. Man, I'm getting tough this morning. I love you guys. I'm not picking on you, but you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you need a little pep talk, a little boot camp here. I mean, I'm talking to me, all right? I'm talking to me first. So don't take this personally, unless God tells you to take it personally. I can only give you what God's given me, okay? But anyway, here it is. And by the way, I am no big deal. I got in the car, drove over here. I don't know, 300-400 miles. I don't know how far it is, 400-500 miles from LA. Because God told me to do it. There was no other reason to come here. But I just did it. Now, don't pat me on the back, but please understand that I didn't want to come. It's out of the way. I've done a lot of driving. I've driven across the country three times in the past 2 weeks, and I'm tired. But I'm doing it because I know God's going to bless me. Well, he is blessing me. All right. All right. So here for two reasons. Pray the dark spirits off of the memorial and to lift up Charlie Kirk's family. Two reasons. Okay. Let's go to Psalms 91, 9 through 11. 91, 9 through 11. Let's take a look at this. Psalms 91, 9 through 11. Because you made me the Lord, who's my refuge. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall come upon you. Nor shall any plague come near you, near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You say, David, but wait a minute, hold it. Something's wrong here. I got sick. I've had financial problems. I've had this. I've had that. But I got to go back to what scripture says. And this isn't anything to you. This is a question for you. Because I have to ask myself this when I have these issues. It says, because you have made the Lord, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Do you hear that? Your dwelling place. That's where you live. You live in God. So my question is, when you have these issues, when I have these issues, are we really living in God, or are we still just playing church? In other words, are we laying in bed awake, but we never got out of bed? See, when you live in God, you're doing the things God tells you to do, not what you want to do, what he tells you to do, the instructions he gives you. Our flesh constantly wants to go this way, and the Spirit of God wants to go this way. So something, someone out there, God is dealing with right now, and I know it, as sure as I'm sitting here in a dingy hotel room, God's dealing with you, just like he's been dealing with me. Go do something. It's uncomfortable. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense. Great. That's probably when God is talking to you. Because when the devil talks to you, it's going to be in comfort. The same thing over and over and over again, expecting something different until you die. And then the devil wins, because not because you chose, you know, to honor Satan or to be in some seance. It's because you were a lukewarm Christian. All right, let's get back. Charlie's death wakened me. After he was killed, I saw things on a different spiritual level. It's weird. I'm still trying to figure it out. Are you there? Have you had that? I mean, is it happening to you, folks? And by the way, I love you guys. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for letting me, allowing me to, I'm going to call it go on a rant. It's not about you. It's really, no, it never is. It's about me. I'm first in line on everything. But I just have a heart so much for God, for us to tell the truth and to get out of religion and to get into relationship with him, to do what he wants us to do. Because people are hurting and they need us. You are someone's last evangelist, all right? So I'm seeing on a different level. It's like I'm seeing the battle. And I didn't agree probably with everything he said. I can't say I did or didn't. I don't know everything he did and said. I haven't had time to look at all of his videos. But I know the spirit agrees. The spirit connects. It jibes. You know what I'm saying. It's the body of Christ. But what moved me most was his willingness to stand up and have a dialogue. You see, that courage touched me. It touched me immensely. Why? Because I do a lot of interviews the past 10 years. You know, I've done over 1,000 interviews with people. Not everyone I agreed with, but I interviewed them. And I had hate mail, and I had people wanting to hurt me, saying I was promoting things that I shouldn't be promoting as a Christian. And I wasn't promoting anything. I was laying everything in the open. I wanted dialogue. I want to know what an atheist feels. I want to know why they are where they are. I want to know someone that's into homosexuality or any type of sexual perversion. I want to know. I'm open. I want to hear it. I want to know how they think, what they've been through. And I got to tell you, 9 times out of 10, God has always taken me to a new level of understanding on how to pray for people. How can you pray for somebody if you don't know where they are? You know, I got Christians wanting to pray for people, but yet they don't want to listen to people. They just want to pray for them. They don't want to feel their hurt. They don't want to know who they really are. They just want to pray for them. That's because you're still in bed. You're awake, but you're still in bed. You're doing nothing. There's too many so-called Christians wanting to convert other people into Christianity when these so-called Christians aren't even Christians themselves. Jesus wasn't like that. He walked with people. He talked with people. It was the one lost sheep. Folks, that lost sheep isn't a sheep that loves you and is on your side. They are lost. What are we thinking? And this is why the world is the way it is, because religion says, I'll pray for you from a distance. I don't really want to know who you are until you become like me. How can that ever happen? And why would they ever want to do that, listening to that kind of nonsense? Because I got people that aren't Christians saying, David, I never want to become a Christian. Because if Christians are like this, if they condemn me, if they want to stand from a distance, they don't want to know me, I don't want to be a Christian. That's what they tell me. You know what I tell them? I said, I don't either. Not the kind of Christian you're talking about, because those aren't really Christians. You have to understand that. Folks, I spend most of my time undoing the nonsense that religion does. I probably spend 70% of my time undoing the harm that these so-called Christians inflict upon people. All right. What does it mean to be a true believer? Love people without compromising the truth. Love people without compromising the truth. You love people, but you will not compromise. You're not going to fight with them. You're going to love them. But you got to listen. You can't sit there and do this kind of a thing and expect them to want to hang around, because it ain't going to happen. They're used to getting banged around, trust me. I mean, I have these good-hearted Bible thumpers that come to me, and they want to, you know, do nothing but read scripture. And the reason they're reading scripture is they're trying to condemn me. They're trying to put me down because I had an atheist on my show, because I interviewed someone who was a homosexual, because I would allow someone into my space who wasn't a Christian to talk about why they are hurting and why they're there. And they you'd say, you shouldn't do that. You're God's child. You shouldn't be around that. Yeah, well. Be compassionate. Let the Holy Spirit guide your words. All right? Operate in compassion. Let the Holy Spirit guide. Don't talk until you feel like God is talking. That's a hard thing to do, because we're used to talking. I mean, we got so many things we want to say. Wait till I tell him this. Wait till I tell him that. Number three, don't try to force people into the kingdom. You can't force anybody. Only God can do that. You're just an instrument of God that he uses. Number four, humble yourself and let God use you in his way and in his timing. Zechariah 4:6, not by my might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord host. It's not my might. It's not my strength. It's not by any power I have, but it's by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. So before we end today, which we're not anywhere near ending, we're going to pray and cast the demons in any witchcraft, in any darkness from around that memorial, the Charlie Kirk Memorial. Now, what I mean by that is, I don't mean that, you know, the people going there who love Charlie are dark. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the people that go there, like myself and Shanita, we love what he stood for. I mean, as much as I know, I'm sure there's things that I didn't agree with, don't know, but his death affected my life, and I want to pay respects. What I'm talking about is the demons are looking, go, we don't like this. We got to mess this up. No, we're going to cast them out right now. Matter of fact, let's do that right now. If you be with me, it's a consorted effort, a corporate event. We're going to cast any demons that are lurking around that memorial in any witchcraft. Demon, you have no right You have no right to this place. You have no right to Charlie Kirk's memorial. We hereby cast you out, every demon of darkness, every demon of deceit, every demon of death, every demon of anger, every demon of injury. We hereby cast you out back into the pits of hell. We bind any evil spirits, any witchcraft is now demolished, strongholds demolished. As we, as God people, we stake that area out and we claim it as holy ground. In Jesus' name, we do this with the power that's been put in us through Jesus. And also, Father, we lift up Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica. I think her name is Erica. Give her power, protection, wisdom, comfort. I ask special protection over their children. Lift them up. Let them be able to do what it is you have them do. And we thank you for this. Thank you for hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. Thank you for praying with me. Appreciate it. All right. Where is it? Okay. There's four things to remember before speaking God's word. And the reason I'm saying this is because Charlie Kirk, I noticed that he didn't try to drag people over to his side of the room. He wanted to talk to people. He wanted to hear them where they were. And he wanted to meet them where they were. We as Christians, that's what we do. That's what Jesus did. You don't drag people into church. So many people trying to drag people into church. You know, I ask people to come and listen to be with us Sunday morning and Monday. I don't drag them here. And I don't say any, usually if someone's not a Christian, I don't say we're having church. I say we're having a get together. Okay. But sometimes those who shout loudest about being a Christian aren't really walking with Christ at all. Let me say it again. The ones that shout the loudest about being a Christian, many times are not really even Christians at all, or they're way off base, okay? Instead of condemnation, we're called to let God speak through us and through our lives. And that takes patience, because sometimes we feel like we have to say something. But that's our flesh, because God says, shut up. God says, I gave you two ears and one mouth. If I wanted you to talk more than listen, I would have given you two mouths and one ear. A lot of Christians have two mouths and one ear. All right. Four things to remember. Let's talk about this. Number one, God is God and you ain't. That's number one. God is God and I'm not. Okay. He's sovereign. He's the only God. There are no gods. Equal, above him, around him, period. You have deceivers. You have evil, of course, but there is no God. Whether you believe in God or not doesn't make God any more God or less God than God is.
Well, I believe in God, my God, so then God is a bigger God because I believe.
What? Are you kidding me? You think your belief is going to make God any bigger? My belief is going to make God any greater? God is God. Doesn't matter what I believe or what you believe. He's God. Period. That's it. Number two, seek to understand what God wants in your life. What does God want for you? Don't pray for other people. Don't give people this godly advice. Don't, you know, sit there and try to, you know, preach to people. First, find out what the heck does God want for you and for me. See, I got to do this on a daily basis. Now, don't get me wrong. People call me and say, will you pray for me? Yes, I can pray for you. David, would you give me your opinion? Yeah, I can give you my opinion. And sometimes God will give me a word to give to somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you cannot go through life not seeking to understand what God wants for your life. How can you help anybody else if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing? Think about it. Number three, listen for his timing and his voice. You see, folks, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. We got to listen for his timing in the spirit. Now, the spirit will manifest in several ways. It'll manifest through circumstances, through people, through events, sometimes through feelings, though we got to check those feelings to make sure that it's really a feeling from God and not a, you know, bad Mexican meal we ate last night and it's just gas, right? Because you're not passing God, you're passing gas. You got to make sure you pass God, not pass gas. It might be a good title for my sermon. And I have the feeling that there's too many Christians just passing gas instead of passing God. I know that sounds weird. Meaning they think it's God, but it's something else. Some feeling. Or something that they're supposed to tell somebody else. That's fine. Tell them. Tell them to clean up their backyard. But look in your own backyard and see if it's a mess. Otherwise, don't tell them to clean it up. Number four, let the Holy Spirit speak, make it his words, not yours. Make it his words, not yours. How do you know if it's his words, not yours? Well, there's several things. There's nothing absolute, but I'll just give you a few things. How do you know if it's God's words and not yours? Let's go back to number one, because you know God is God and you ain't. Number two, you seek to understand what God wants for your life. And number three, listen for his timing and his voice. If you can do those three things, then you have a good shot at number four of letting him speak his words, not your own. Now, the words that he's going to speak is scripture. It's always going to tie back to truth. You cannot come up with some cockamamie, philosophy on your own. Now, you'll come up with things God has revealed to you that coincides with scripture that church doesn't want to talk about. That's what we do a lot, I hope. But you're going to come up with the gospel of Jane, the gospel of David, the gospel of Bill. It ain't going to happen. John 16:13, however, when he, the spirit of truth has come, he will guide you until all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. The spirit of truth. He'll guide you until all truth. And he doesn't even speak on his own authority, the authority of God. But whatever he hears, he will speak and he'll tell you the things to come. God will let you know what's going on. God will give you these words. All right, practical steps for today. Let's get into that, but I'm going to have another sip of coffee. I want to go to comments. We have a lot of comments this morning. I appreciate you all being here with me at the Charlie Kirk Memorial. Thank you, Lori. What a wonderful message this morning. God bless you. I appreciate you guys. Good morning, Ronald. Let's see. Lori's meeting. We're rejoicing this morning. It's the calling of the Holy Spirit, says Ginger. You're absolutely right. All right, here's one more. By the way, we are praying. If you need prayer, you can put it in chat. You can call 844-806-0006. And if you're not a member of David Hebner TV, go sign up right now because we're going underground in just a few minutes, okay? We are a family. We pray for one another. So Denise says, send us your prayer request, and that's what we're doing. All right, let's get to it. By the way, before I forget it, folks, this is something I want to tell you guys about in case I do forget it, that we have a film festival coming up November 15th. If you want to submit your film, your music, it's a film music festival, even a testimony, you can get on 3 minutes, get on your phone, submit it. If you want more information, go to lastevangelist.com, call 844-806-0006. I wanted to mention that to you because I didn't want to forget. Okay. And All right, so let's go to the 4 points steps for today, practical steps for today. Number one, this is for me, not just for you, for me first. Stop worrying about petty problems, even serious struggles. Stop worrying about it. Don't let them consume you. Do not think about it. Instead, thank God for what he has done for you, for what he is doing for you, and what he is going to do for you. Look at all the good that's happened in your life. Look at all the good that's happened in your life. I said, David, you don't understand. I was married to an abuser, a husband. He abused me. Yeah, well, look at the good. He's gone. Thank God he's gone. Thank God in Greyhound he's gone, right? I know it's tough, but I have these issues. I can sit here and think about every problem I've got till the point is I don't even want to get out of bed. But you're awake because you're here, but you're laying in bed. So get out right now. Stop laying in bed and worrying about your problems. Number two, pray for someone worse off than you. This is what keeps me going. I'm broken, but I see people, and I don't want to say they're more broken than me. I don't know how to say what I want to say, so please do not take offense at this, because we're all broken. But I see people that are hurting, and I pray for them, and I forget about me. Does that make sense? When you pray for somebody and they're really struggling, you just forget about you. So pray for someone else today. Pray for Charlie's family. Pray for Erica. Pray for the two children. And look at their situation, what they've lost. You and I, we still have life, opportunity. We're still waking up, even though some of us are still laying in bed, though you're getting out of bed this morning. Pray for somebody that's hurting. The reason they're worse off than you is because they're asking you to pray for them. There's going to be times you're going to be asking people to pray for you. I ask people to pray for me. Number three, use your God-given gifts today, not tomorrow. Don't sit and make a plan. Just do it. Plans are excuses for not want. It's procrastination. Nothing wrong with writing it down. Okay, here's my plan. All right, I just wrote it. Good, now go do it. Don't spend, 5 years making a plan. Tomorrow is not promised to you or to me. Use your God-given gifts. God gave you these gifts. What you do with them is you give back to God. That's why I'm here. I feel like God's given me a gift of whatever you call it, communication and the things that I do, whatever I'm doing. But I feel like God's given me that gift, the gift of being in the film industry of music. So I want to use it. Do I use it properly? Probably not. Some of the times I mess up, but I'm getting out of bed. Do I stumble around and stumble my toe? Yeah, but I'm out of bed. Charlie gave what he had to the very end. God, I know God will look at him and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want. Is it that what you want? Number four, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3 daily. Stop worrying about your problems. Thank God for what he's done for you, what he's doing, what he's going to do. Pray for someone else that's worse off than you. And use your God-given gifts today. James 4:14 says, for what is your life? What is my life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about this body. I'm not talking about your spirit. Your spirit's going to live forever. Question is, where is it going to live? Well, we know that we are Christians if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you stand on his blood. You know that. I know that. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. But don't you want to stand in front of God and hear him say, well done? You went all the way. You gave it your best shot. okay, you didn't hit the mark all the time, but you're out there trying. Get out of bed. This morning, I believe there's people out there listening to me right now that's been in bed. They didn't even know you. You didn't even know you were in bed. You didn't. But now you know. And now you're getting out of bed. By the way, we're all in bed on a certain level because we all have our challenges. You're never really out of bed permanently. It's a day-to-day, one step at a time, one day at a time event. Does that make sense? Because we're all at a place where God's taken us up to a higher level. Now we've got to go to a higher level with God. And that means we got to get out of bed and go do it. You're never going to be comfortable. There should be no such thing as retirement. By the way, most people who retire, they die within 5 years. Retire. What is retirement? Somebody asked me, are you in retirement?
Am I in retirement? No, I'm not in retirement. Are you retarded?
Meaning, what's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind as a Christian asking me if I'm in retirement? No Christian should ever be in retirement. You should always be out there working. You should always be doing things for God. All right? And that's what we do. We do it for God, and you do it for God, and I appreciate you all so much. I really do. Okay, so just a few things here, and then we're going to pray for you guys. Just remember, if you would like to support us, you can go to davidhebner.tv/give. You can text the word CHOSEN to 91999 or call 844-806-0006. We really appreciate that. And please sign up, David Hebner TV. Now, there's people out there that are saying, David, I've heard this message this morning. I'm scared to get out of bed. It hurts to get out of bed. I tried to get out of bed. I did. And you don't understand. The pain is so great. Right now, I'm commanding a healing over your body. I'm commanding it. I'm commanding it in Jesus' name. I'm asking God right now to give you the strength, the courage. We wipe away any fear. That God embraces you in his hands and lifts you out of bed. And as you walk, you will have protection around you and comfort because you are loved. You see, the reason that you're here and I'm here is not anything we did on our own. If you think you're here this morning because you decided to be here, if you think that's the reason, folks, you're way off. And so am I. Do you think I'm here because I wanted to be here this morning? No, I'm here because of God's amazing grace. Would you sing it with me this morning?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved rich like me. I once was lost, Lord, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
It's like I talked about with the death of Charlie Kirk. It opened my eyes to a new level of compassion, of patience, of listening to the Holy Spirit, letting God's voice ring through me instead of me trying to sound the bell myself. And I thank God for his amazing grace, for showing me something on a higher level that I didn't know before. For showing me that God is God. Sing it with me one more time as you think about the good God has done for you and all the blessings. It's only because of grace. Amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, Lord, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, God's amazing grace. I want to bring Shanita on, see if we have some prayer request, a praise report. Good morning. Any prayer requests, praise reports?
We do. We're praying for Virgil today. We have praise reports that you pray for Rebecca's aunt. She's improved. And let's see, we have prayer requests in for Kay, for Lori, and for Lori. And for Sunshine's daughter, Tiffany, hospitalized, 5 months pregnant. For Barbara, for Christopher, for Josh, for Greg, for baby Grace. For Stephanie, Jasmine, Ashley, Melissa, and Jess, who are incarcerated but gave their lives to the Lord this week. And for Cheryl, for Shannon's friend, for Caleb on chemo, and for Addie. And just so grateful to be able to come together and lift up these.
We're so grateful to be here at the memorial of Charlie Kirk and to mm-hmm. be in a place where God has enlightened us to the point where we do need to pray for protection over people, over ourselves too, mm-hmm. And to be able to cast out demons. I mean, that's what we do. That's God said, these things shall follow. He didn't say they would follow law enforcement. He didn't say they would follow some political figure. He said these things will follow. What? Christians, you and I. What? Cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick. Preach the truth, right, Shanita? Mm-hmm. This is what we do, our job.
Yeah. A beautiful thing happened this week. I left the hotel and then I just felt a nudge to go back and just let the receptionist know just how intimately and passionately her Heavenly Father pursues her. And in the conversation, well, she said, that's interesting because I'm at a crossroads in my life right now. And I asked if she had a Bible, and she actually does. Believing that God's going to be speaking to her through his word.
Exactly. Yeah. I always tell people, you know, we're supposed to be fire. We are fire. We're God's fire. But the problem is, there's too many Christians, just a bunch of smoke, you know. I don't want to be smoke. I want to be fire, you know. That's the analogy I use for myself. God set me on fire. I don't want to be smoke. I want to be the fire.
Absolutely. When you light my candle, it's not like yours burns any less. It doesn't diminish your power to share it with me.
Yep. Exactly. That's right. Absolutely. All right. We're going to be praying for people this morning. I love you. I appreciate you. And we're going to go to Charlie Kirk's memorial after this. Love you. Bless. All right, folks. We have not only the right, but we are commanded to pray for one another. So right now, would you pray with me for each and every person that needs prayer? Perhaps you need prayer. We're praying for you, right? Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We're commanding a healing upon God's people. There's someone out there that's having problems with their dentures, with their teeth. We're commanding a healing. There's someone out there who's been told by the doctor that they've got an issue that cannot be undone, that only the medical field can handle it. Father, let them know that you are the great physician, that you're taking care of them. I pray for protection over your people, Father. I'm asking, there's someone out there with a family that's really in ruins, several people. We're believing a miracle right now, Lord, that you're gluing that family back together. And it starts with forgiveness. Mercy for me, mercy for you. Pray for those that have lost loved ones, whether they have passed on or there's been a broken relationship. Thank you for letting us be here, Lord. I praise you for this little hotel room that we're in, for the provision of the car, to be able to come to people and talk to people about you. I thank you, God, for everyone listening to my voice that prays for us, supports us, encourages us. I ask for a special blessing for everyone listening. We pray for our children, protection. We're not begging, God. Because you've given us the power, we're commanding healings. And we're expecting provision over our children and expecting our children to come home and expecting the salvation of our children. And the mother will not go to that clinic. We thank you for getting us out of bed this morning, Lord, waking us up, getting us out of bed and getting us to move around. And Father, as we walk through this day, we perhaps will stumble and hit our toe and it'll hurt really bad. I ask, Father, that you will exempt us from any pain, that we can always look for someone else that we can pray for and help. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. I appreciate you all so much. Just a few things. I got to make sure that I'm doing what God tells me to do. Episode 3 of Last Evangelist deals with missing children, deals with the underground labs that deep state governments have used on our children.